Amen. It's a blessing to be with you in the Lord's house here tonight.
My grandfather is the founding pastor of the church there that I'm sent out of in Hillsboro, North Carolina, Wayside Baptist Church. And his brother, Jimmy Carter, like the president, and was the founding pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Oxford there, where Cecil Newton has served the Lord for many, many years. And brother Jimmy became a member of Riverside in Durham, Riverside Baptist Church there in Durham. And Jimmy Jones is the pastor of that church. And he called to Florida. And I used to always tell the story. He called down to Florida, and he was going to book a motel room for Jimmy Jones and Jimmy Carter. And and they rode all the way down to Florida and to get the room. And the motel thought it was a prank. And so they didn't have a room when they got there. Amen. And but it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house tonight. My wife back here, she's in the back here. Christy, if you could slip your hand up. There's my wife back there. And she's here tonight with me and my children. And my oldest son, Jesse. Jesse? There's Jesse. And there's and my second one is Chloe. There's Chloe. And then there's Elijah. And then Emma. She's asleep. Emma's asleep. Amen. And Wesley. There's Wesley. And then Josie in her arms there. So that's my family. And we're honored to be with you here tonight. And I want to kind of, you know, back up what the pastor said about using the altar, being led of God. And it falls under being quenched not the Holy Spirit. You know, I was preaching in a church, and my pastor's always told me one person has the key to a church service. And I was preaching in a church, and it was just a normal service. I mean, nothing. I mean, just another church service. And I had preached, and I gave the invitation, and several hands went up, and one of them was my boy's hand, Elijah, of people being lost. And nobody. And I begged them to come to the altar, and nobody would move. It was just dead. And there was one woman, lady, I should say, to be respectful. There was a lady sitting in the back, and I bowed my head to say, well, I'm gonna close the service in prayer. Nobody's coming. And I bowed my head to pray, and this lady, about time I opened my eyes, this lady was about right here coming to the altar weeping, and she broke. And when she broke, everything broke. Amen. She had the key. I didn't have the key to the service. I mean, I was in my heart, I was going home. And when she broke, and my son got saved that night, and several other people, I led another boy to the altar to the Lord on the altar that night. But nobody was going to move until she moved. She had the key to that service. And the Bible says, quench not the spirit. And no, everybody's heart was walled up until she broke. And when she obeyed God, other people obeyed God. You be obedient to the Lord tonight. Amen. And thank God for God's goodness. I brought my photo album and put it out there. And I'd like for you to look through the photo album. We've been out west for 7 years, 6 years in Idaho. I worked with another missionary in Utah for 1 year. And God used us there to reach a family into that mission work there in a year. And it would take us, and this is just a fact, we would pass out literature. And I don't know if everybody pays attention. God's not bound to numbers, but I'd pay attention to how many pieces of literature we'd pass out to get a visitor and so forth. And I don't know why I do that, but I'd pay attention to it. And it would take us about 1,000 invitations for one visitor. And 1,000 invitations for one visitor. And I found out that was pretty common, at least out there. And then, of course, you know what, visitors, a lot of times they come one time, two times, and then you don't ever see them again. So there's a turnover rate for visitors, and I didn't keep up with that because I didn't want to keep up with that. But I wanted to know how much, you know. But God's not bound by those numbers. And God's able to work in any situation. And so we were in a very heavily Mormon area. And it was very, very different from this place, completely different from this place spiritually and in a lot of ways. But it's taught me a lot of things spiritually, and I just want to share some things with you. And 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, the Bible says, and I'm going to preach from a different text. I'm just quoting, you can look it up. But 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be converted. Now, you tonight, and I know it's more than a, It's more than a cliche, but you're in a spiritual war. And if you don't know that, you need to know that. And sometimes you say that to people, and I think it takes some things in life for them to really come to that full understanding of that. It takes some people a little while to figure that out, but you're in a spiritual war. And you say, well, one thing that really teach you that is start sharing the gospel with people. I mean, if you just come to church and you're not really active in getting the gospel out and you're not going to do anything, I can see how you'd not realize you were in a spiritual war. But start sharing the gospel. Come part of the soul winning program ministry of this church and try to witness to people. And I would sit there and just thinking, you're in a war. And one reason why I'm here tonight is because the mission field that God called us to needs prayer. And it needs prayer more than it needs a missionary. Because God will send a missionary with prayer. Now, as I say this, because the prayer does miraculous things without me even being there. Prayer pulls down those blinded eyes. It pulls down, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on them. Do they need a missionary? You better believe they need a missionary, but they need prayer more than they need that missionary. And the Bible says, if two or three of you agree on anything, it's touching together, and God hears that prayer and God answers that prayer. And so I ask you to pray for Idaho. I ask you to pray for southeastern Idaho in particular. That's where we labored for 6 years. And I want you to pray for a gentleman by the name of Jared McBride, the McBride family. Right before I came back this way, and I mentioned him by name, I told my wife, I said, Jared McBride's got more people praying for him than anybody on planet Earth. And I said, he's in trouble. And I was honored to lead his wife to the Lord. She came. She was one of the thousands. And she said, before I got that invitation, she said, I was praying the week before, God, I know I need to be in church, and I don't know which one to be in. And she said, I got your invitation the next week, and I knew that was the answer to my prayer. And I thank God we're a gospel preaching church, because if she had prayed that prayer and someone else had to come by, and she'd have probably said the same thing, honestly, you know. But it took 10 months for the gospel to penetrate her heart. And I would pray and pray and preach and pray and preach and pray, and her family would come and pray. And I finally said, they used to raise their hand lost, and then the hands quit getting raised saying they were lost. So I said, well, maybe they got saved at home. I know God does that. You know, I've been sharing the gospel frontwards and backwards in every way I know how. And so I went up to them and I said, and I asked her, she would come sometimes without her husband because he had worked third shift and this kind of bring her kids and stuff. And I'd say, well, I said, do you know that you're saved? And she kind of did. You ever watch somebody that tries to tell you they're saved and they just don't know, and they kind of put their head down or something a little bit? She kind of did one of those to me, you know. Yes, I'm saved. You know, her body language said something different from what her mouth said, and that's what she did. And I said, well, if you're saved, then you need to be baptized. Have you ever been scripturally baptized? And I said, I'd like for you to pray about getting baptized. And so she came back about 2 weeks later, and she said, I want to get baptized. And so I said, well, let's have a class. We'll teach a baptismal class. And so we taught the class. And there after that class, I said, do you have any questions? And she raised her hand, and she said, I need to be saved. That's what she said. She didn't ask a question. She said, I need to be saved. And she got born again there, and she's still faithful in the mission work. And I called her just about 2 weeks ago. And I asked her how she was doing, and she's still in the mission work there. And here's the thing. It's still Sunday morning only, and some Wednesdays. That's how it works. Those people out there don't understand. I mean, it's just a fact. They don't know Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Nobody's ever shown them. Nobody's ever done that. That's except for us. And we're the missionaries, and we're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe in it. Even if they don't believe in it, I believe in it. And I believe you ought to be faithful to the Lord's house. You're not going to grow in the Lord if you're part-time to faithful to God's house. You're not going to grow. And so you know, we were there, and she's still there, and she's still growing. And I was just curious about her spiritual discernment. And it's not that I know everything, but I just know I've witnessed to her husband. And he was telling me, he says he's not sure if he's saved. And so I asked Laura, I said, what do you think about Jared, your husband? Is he saved? And she told me, she said, he tells me he's not saved. And he tells me that that he still has some sins that he wants to hold on to, is not ready to get rid of, so not ready to give up to be saved, or not ready to repent of. And so you pray for him, and pray for that family. And I believe in the power of prayer. If you pray and I pray and God's able to pull down, God's able to make him sin sick. Do you believe in that? I believe in that. You ever met someone that got sin sick? I got sin sick. You got to get sin sick to get saved. You know what that means, to be sick of your sin? That's what it means. The Bible says, whosoever's thirsty, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Have you ever been thirsty? See, a lot of people want to get saved, but they're not thirsty. You got to be thirsty. It's kind of like saying you got to get lost before you can get found. You know, sin sick. So I believe that prayers is what gets people sin sick. I believe that. When church prays together for lost people, it gets them sin sick. Amen. Sick of sin. Where abhor. Job said, "I abhor myself." Now he was saved when he said that, but God would get a lost man there, and sick of sin. He wants to come to Jesus, the great physician. And so you pray for them. And I also share that with you because that's fruit that abounds to your account. And that's your mission, that's your faith there in Elora McBride getting born again. It's part of your labor as you've invested in the ministry there in Blackfoot, Idaho. And thank you for that. And I praise the Lord for that. And she also told me that since that time that one of her daughters has gotten saved. And so I thank God for that as well. And so I believe that there's fruit and fruit that remains. And I thank God, rejoice in God for that. And I covet your prayers tonight for my own family and for the work there. And what I'm saying is that and I want to preach along these lines. I want to go to Genesis 32. Now you go to Genesis 32, and I'll share a little bit more there. And there in that part of the country, all right. I watched a wonderful choir sing tonight, and I don't believe I was ever in one church in Idaho that had a choir. And I'm not trying to say there's not a church in Idaho that doesn't have a choir, but I never saw one. And I used to try to go to the Independent Baptist Fellowship down there all the time. And every time, every church I go in here, every church has a choir. It's because you got enough people to have one. They don't have enough people to have choirs. And so there's 50,000 people in Pocatello, Idaho right now. 50,000 people. And there's one regular Baptist church there, which is Calvinistic Baptist Church. One regular Baptist church. There's not one independent Baptist church in that city of 50,000 people that's not Calvinistic, that's a gospel preaching church. There's gospel preachers there. Sometimes we might overstate things. I mean, that guy preaches the gospel at that church, okay, of 50,000 people. Now, there's association churches, about two or three Southern Baptist churches, two or three American Baptist churches, but not one in a town of 50,000 people. And you pray for that town, you pray for that place, and there's a great need out west. But as I say that, I want to tell you this, I don't want you to take this wrong, but it's sort of supply and demand. They don't want you there. There's a reason that problem exists, you understand? There's nobody writing letters asking you to come there. We're in 2017, you know, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't send missionaries there. We need missionaries there, but you need to understand that you need to pray that they would realize that there's a need there. They're not thirsty for it. You got it, they got it. That's where prayer comes in. There's a great need, and that's the reason why. You know, a lot of times people, and I'm trying to help put it into perspective, a lot of times people say there's a Baptist church on every corner here, there's a Baptist church every corner in North Carolina. Somebody wanted them. I mean, if you want one, God will give you one. That's just a fact. I mean, and if you go there and start preaching, you're going to find out people don't want them. That doesn't mean they don't need a preacher, though. I mean, God calls people to places where people don't want you there. Amen. Read the Old Testament prophets. But you pray for that part that God just opens it. God just opens it up. So there's a great need. There's a huge need. So you pray for us tonight.